In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. St. John Vianney once said, "There is nothing so great as the Eucharist. If God had something more precious, he would have given it to us." Today, Holy Mother Church celebrates the most precious gift from the Sacred Heart of Jesus, that of the Holy Eucharist, as we celebrate Corpus Christi, meaning the body of Christ, a feast in which we as Catholics proclaim and give worship to our blessed Lord and Savior in the Holy Eucharist, who is present body, blood, soul, and divinity, which is the source and summit of our faith, as the Second Vatican Council said. Indeed, as St. John Vianney said, if the good God had something more precious to give to us, he would have done so. Corpus Christi, which was established following the Eucharistic miracle of Orvieto in Italy, in which a host bled upon a corporal while a doubting priest, a priest who doubted the real presence, was celebrating Mass, is a beautiful feast not only to remind us of Christ's real presence in the Eucharist, but also to inspire and to encourage us to become more devoted to our Lord in the Eucharist, where he waits in the tabernacles of our churches as a prisoner of love, desiring for us to come to him and to adore him and to present to him our prayers. Over the centuries, many Catholics have joined in beautiful Corpus Christi Eucharistic processions all around the world. These Eucharistic processions, not only on the Feast of Corpus Christi, but on other occasions as well, are a profound gesture of belief in Christ's presence in the Eucharist and a bold proclamation that he is the true King whom we must give honor and worship to. This is a day for us, my fellow Catholics, to renew our Eucharistic devotion. And if we are able to participate in the Eucharistic procession in order to proclaim to the world that Jesus is present in the Eucharist, but also to proclaim him as our King. Our reading speaks so beautifully this weekend of the foreshadowing, the anticipation of the great gift of the Eucharist that Jesus would give to us. As we heard in our first reading from Genesis, Melchizedek offering a sacrifice of bread and wine in thanksgiving to God, in anticipation of the institution of the Eucharist. But Jesus also foreshadows the institution of the Eucharist in the feeding of the 5,000 today, as he feeds the peoples with physical nourishment in anticipation of the spiritual nourishment that he would give to us in the Eucharist. This institution of the Eucharist is also heard about in the second reading that we hear from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. On this feast in which the Church encourages us to renew our Eucharistic devotion, I would like to tell a short story involving priests who were imprisoned by the Nazis in the Dachau concentration camp in Germany during World War II. There were some 3,500 priests imprisoned in Dachau alone, and a third of them died in the camp during World War II. And while these priests were in the camp, they were forbidden from celebrating Holy Mass. Now, this was an enormous deprivation for these imprisoned priests, not being able to celebrate the holy sacrifice of the Mass. However, by divine providence, as a result of intense diplomatic pressure from the Vatican, the situation ended up changing towards the end of 1940, when a chapel was permitted to be set up in one of the barracks of the camp. Now, it's worth noting that towards the end of 1940, on December the 8th, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, around the same time they were permitted to set up this chapel, the priests at Dachau consecrated themselves to St. Joseph and asked for his protection and for his guidance. An article that I read from a website tells the story of these priests in Dachau celebrating the Mass. The article says, "The first Mass at Dachau was celebrated on January 21st, 1941. The tabernacle had been made secretly in the carpenter's workshop. The altar and candlesticks had been salvaged from camp materials. The parishioners, who had managed to somehow stay in touch with their imprisoned priests, sent them vestments, sent them prayer books, Stations of the Cross, holy pictures, and even two monstrances so that they could have adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. The SS officials who ran the camp naturally placed many restrictions on their liturgical services. Lay prisoners were forbidden to attend. Although Holy Communion was secretly distributed to Catholics in other barracks, even at the risk of severe punishment, And sometimes other prisoners secretly attended Mass, or they hovered near the chapel window in order to hear as much of the Mass as they could. One of them later wrote in his recollections of Dachau, "The priest was saying the same Latin words that all his confreres at that same hour were repeating in their morning Masses throughout the world. No longer could I recall the world of the concentration camp. Each priest, for a precious moment, was restored to his original, fragile, and indestructible dignity as a priest. On the way out into the daylight, in the pale light of the early morning, one felt capable of facing a little better the hunger and the fear." What a truly remarkable story this is, that conveys the importance and the power of the holy sacrifice of the Mass and of the great gift of the Holy Eucharist. Nourished by the graces of the Mass and Christ's presence in the Holy Eucharist, these priests were able to persevere and to aid the other Catholic prisoners during their time at the Dachau concentration camp. At a time in which all seemed dark and there seemed to be very little or no hope, especially given the unspeakable conditions and circumstances of the Dachau concentration camp, these priests turned to the one thing that was most important to them and which sustained them during their time at the camp. They turned to the Holy Eucharist. They turned to the Holy Mass. They turned to Jesus' real presence in the Holy Eucharist. Their zeal and their devotion and their love for Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, brothers and sisters, should teach us a great lesson this weekend as we celebrate the solemnity of Corpus Christi, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In our modern age, recent studies and surveys continue to show that over the years, more and more Catholics do not believe in the real presence of the Eucharist. Some surveys even show that as much as 70% of Catholics claim that they do not believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. Over the past several decades, more and more Catholics have been leaving the Church, and less Catholics believe in the real presence. And we wonder why we're in such bad shape in so many ways when it comes to the conditions in the Church, and by extension the world as well. But there are so many contributing factors to the lessening of people's faith in Jesus and the Holy Eucharist, including bad catechesis, the mundane worship of God, the celebration of Mass, often reduced to just a communal meal, ugly churches being built that reflect not the transcendent, but rather are banal and plain, people treating the Eucharist with grave irreverence and dullness, people even receiving Holy Communion in a state of mortal sin, and even publicly doing so, including certain Catholic politicians, without being called out on it. Things like this have contributed to the lessening of the faith of the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. Because if we believe that the Eucharist is Jesus Christ, if we believe that the Eucharist is God, then we should treat it like it's God, and we haven't been doing that. So it's no wonder why people have stopped believing, why people have left the Church and have thus jeopardized their own salvation. This is something, brothers and sisters, we need to return to. If you remember, my New Year's resolution for our parishes is for increased Eucharistic piety and devotion. Increased Eucharistic devotion that will help us to deepen our faith in Jesus' presence in the Eucharist. Not only have Catholics lost their faith in the Eucharist, but more and more Catholic churches are even being attacked and desecrated, even in our own nation. Bishop Rice, on this past week in his confirmation homily, as he spoke to our young people getting confirmed, he mentioned this. He talked about the various churches that have been attacked in our own nation, over 130, over the past several years. And Bishop Rice, as he spoke to our young people, he said, "It's only going to get worse, especially when Roe v. Wade is overturned, which, if the reports and the rumors are true, is quite likely to happen, and will quite likely happen sometime this summer. These attacks are only going to get worse." And Bishop Rice, he posed a question to our young people as he was reflecting upon especially these various parts of the world in which Catholics are experiencing martyrdom. He posed a question to the young people, and to all of us by extension. He said, If the celebration of Mass became outlawed, illegal, by the United States government simply because we're Catholic and we stand up for what's true, if the celebration of Mass became outlawed by the government, would we have the courage to show up? Would we have the courage to show up? I pray to God that your priests would have the courage to show up. And I pray to God that these pews would not be empty. Would we have the courage, and would our faith be so great enough in Jesus' presence in the Eucharist that we would show up and give him honor and worship and be spiritually nourished, which we need to be in order to get through these hard times that we are experiencing? It's a good question to indeed ask ourselves, brothers and sisters. With all of these mockeries and these attacks on churches and the lack of faith in the real presence of our Lord in the Eucharist, what is Christ's response to all of this in our day and age? What's his response? He continues to remain with us, just as he promised he would. To remain with us to the end of the age. To still come down upon our altars, body, blood, soul, and divinity, through these unworthy hands. He still comes to our altars. Why? Because he loves us. And he made a promise. He promised he would never leave us, to always be with us, to see us through the dark times, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to nourish us, so we can continue well on that road to heaven. He continues to pursue the heart of man with the gift of his own heart, found perfectly in the gift of the Holy Eucharist. And he wants to draw us more closely to himself in love. He wants us to have a steadfast and firm faith in the real presence of the Eucharist, for especially when times do get hard in our lives. We must recognize that this world is not our home. And through our worship of Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist and of our worthy reception of him in Holy Communion, we receive that foretaste of the eternal life that awaits us, so long as we live our lives worthily and virtuously in love of God. Let us not be distracted or indifferent, brothers and sisters, towards the Eucharist, but let us truly seek to prepare ourselves for this most important moment of our day, this most important moment of our weekend, when we are in a state of grace, we have the opportunity to receive Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. So what can we do, generally speaking, to grow in our devotion to our Lord in the Eucharist? Well, just as the Jews gave due honor and worship to God's holy presence, his spiritual presence in the temple, so much more should we give to Jesus in the Eucharist, the honor and the worship that is due to him. What better way to grow in deeper love with the King of love than to receive him worthily in Holy Communion, or to go to visit him in the Blessed Sacrament, in the tabernacle, or to go to adoration when we can, to read about what the Church teaches and to read about the spiritual writings of the saints on the Eucharist, to read about and learn about the many Eucharistic miracles that have occurred over the centuries of the Church, and to even come to an extra Mass during the week if we're able to do so, to make a spiritual communion every day, to make the sign of the cross whenever you pass by a Catholic church, to receive Holy Communion well prepared, reverently, with devotion and with love. There are so many ways for us to deepen our Eucharistic devotion, brothers and sisters, and let us embrace them. Let us embrace them so that we can draw closer to the Sacred Heart of Jesus found in the great gift of the Holy Eucharist. I would like to end with the words of 12-year-old St. Dominic Savio, a young Italian saint who had a tremendous love for Jesus and the Eucharist. He once gave this simple but powerful piece of advice, which I now extend to you. He said, "Ask Jesus to make you a saint. After all, only he can do that. Go to confession regularly and to Holy Communion as often as you can." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.